Any announcements or prayer requests?
Moment of discomfort, but I mean, it's something we just have to do. I know I rejoice in the fact that I had an opportunity to talk to my dad about it, you know. So it's just something, it's a very simple thing, and for somebody to deny it, it's almost like you almost rebellious or something. But believe that Christ died for your sins according to scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose on the third day. Trust it. Okay, I do, but I'm still gonna go to the Catholic Church, I'm still gonna do this, I'm not gonna go to church. But I rejoice, you believe, though. You may not have one reward when you get to heaven, but you're going to be in glory eternally. So, I mean.
Yeah, my father accepted the Lord back in early 1980s at Grace Gospel Church. He used to come for the Bible conferences, and we used to have in the summertime where he's come to the play they used to have. I know in my heart, yeah, he's saved and been there, but he's still, you know, raised in campus, and he's still playing around with his denomination, and that's where his wife's comfortable with, and you know, the rest of his family is like that. So it's like, hey, you know, he knows that he's going to have to give an account for himself, just as well as I'm going to have to give an account for myself.
Amen.
So, decided to have cancer or whatever, get on from there.
That our works doesn't nullify our salvation, you know.
Yeah. So
that's another thing of glory. Go ahead, sir.
I still go see my brother, but I had to back off a little bit because of I caught a cold and I'm just now getting over it. So like I'm going every day and I back off these things and you want to know where I'm at when I'm not there.
Right.
So like when I do go, and I was hearing what he was saying about his brother, I said, man, that's my brother's the same way, but I tell you, man, I still talk to him about the Lord. I said, you talk to the Lord today?
Mm-hmm.
And I always say, with 15, 1, 2, 3, that's all he can graduate now, comes in and goes out.
Amen.
He did. And a few minutes, he'll fire up.
That's fine.
So I get through with that. Now, he's got a bad person, not a bad person. But if somebody has never told him to grow with him, oh man, his mouth is dangerous. Every day, out loud. So one day, I guess I'm going to tell him too, one day he said something about my brother. He said the same about my brother. Then you can too, all of that. And when he talks to my brother, when I'm not there for the time, my brother can't see. But I bawled him out in a nice way. I don't use profanity, but I bawled him out in a nice way. I said, you don't even know me, sir. You don't know anything about me. And some of the things that he said, I wouldn't took back to the day. So he won't talk to me now. So I said, wow. And then I asked my brother, I said, did he have any water today? He said, no. He said, I ain't gonna give him that either. I said, wow. So I started praying for him and things like that. But when I go to the funeral, he asked me where I be every day. And I said, man, I said, I had to take a little time off because I wasn't feeling well. I don't want to kill my chain,
mm-hmm.
You know. But I was. And I felt myself. I said, Jack, you got to take care of you.
Amen.
Lord, you need to see him. But then every time I go, now I start to talk real loud. When I talk to my brother about the Lord, and I stay with 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, I stay with that. And he said, yeah, man. He said, I said, do you believe that? And he said, yeah, man. But so and so and so and so. His mind is shut off. And this is pretty much every day. So one day he came to me and he said, man, I was talking to the Lord. And the Lord, what's his name? I said, he said, Jesus Christ. He said, my God himself. No, there was another one there. You know. So he comes and goes. But then the other fellow won't talk, he won't help him out.
We'll keep that situation in prayer. We're running late on time, but we definitely will keep that situation in prayer. And praise God, when somebody curse you, you do what? Bless them. You bless them. So, you know, that's going to happen. But we, from what we call take the low road, we bless people. We continue to bless them. That's just a more of an opportunity to give them a blessing toward God. We say give them a blessing to somebody. You know, be a blessing as far as giving them a word of God, giving them something that they can hold on to. Amen.
And that's what I did afterwards, but not in the heat of the conversation. It wasn't the heat with me because he can get up and move around. He goes to the bathroom. He's the only one that works with his body.
Okay, we'll get that. We're going to get started. We're running a little late on time. Praise God. Praise God. Pastor Scott, you want to open up in prayer?
All right. Father, we just thank you for another day of grace. For the salvation that's been given to us. The work that was done on the cross of Calvary, the fact that we've been able to perish. We pray for all the prayer offerings that were out there this morning, that you will be done in all of those things. As we study your word this morning, we just pray that the truth be changed, not only by the our lives, but we learn things to share with others and hopefully bring them to the same knowledge of your word. God, we thank you.
Amen. One last thing I wanted to ask you guys to pray for. A dear brother of mine, Hal Beckmeyer. He's a part of the Beckmeyer family. Beckmeyer's are dear to me because the first person that I talked to as it pertains to rightly dividing the word of truth was his cousin Fred Beckmeyer, and the family is very dear to me. He's in a mission in Thailand, I believe, and he had a mini stroke out there, and his hand has gone limp or something. He's hoping it's neurological and not a stroke, but either way, he has to be rushed back to the States now, so we definitely want to keep his whole scenario in prayer, so definitely keep the Beckmeyer family in prayer. Okay, today we're looking at Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 8 and 9. We're going to open up with that, and we're going to couple that with Colossians 2 and 12. So I want you to have your pen. I don't do this often because I know it kind of like crosses me up when people do it, but I want to read two verses today. We're going to read Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, and then we're going to jump over to Colossians 2 and 12. You have it, say amen. We're going to start Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not works, lest any man should boast. Let's turn over to Colossians 2. Colossians 2 and 12. Colossians 2, 12. You have it, say amen. Let's read. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. Amen. Today it seems like we're going to have a central theme. We went through our Bible study talking about this topic, and now we're about to embrace it again because it's something that I perceive is very essential in the dispensation that we live in, the dispensation of the grace of God. We're going to talk about faith today. Faith is a vital issue today in the church and in the lives of anybody who say that they're facing their trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Because faith is a package deal today. We find that God has done something on you and I's behalf that is absolutely remarkable, and it's being hid from a lot of the people in the world today. The Bible says that Satan, the prince of the power of the air, has blinded the minds of them that do what? Believe not. And there's a lot of people that don't believe, and they're blinded to a magnificent task that God has taken on for you and I, and it gives us a lot of reward in understanding what he has done. So when we look at 289, I'm just going to pull out this issue here because I find that this is where I never really knew this for quite some time until some people pulled my coat to it, and the Spirit of God revealed this thing even unto me. But look what this says. It seems to be so subtle, but it's right there on the page. Look what it says here. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is what? A gift of God. So God has given a gift right here that a lot of people don't recognize. What is a gift that God has given right here?
Faith.
Amen. Faith. See, this is why we're talking about this today. A lot of individuals don't know that God gave us a gift of faith. Now, how does that manifest itself? Why am I talking about faith today in the midst of all the other things that you can be talking about? Because I'm telling you, as a member of the body of Christ, it's one of the most important key articles of what God is doing with us today. And without it, we won't be in a position that God is pleased with us absolutely at all. And this draws a lot of confusion in Christianity today. A lot of times when individuals point to this particular verse, it says it very clearly here. If you just continue to read it out, it lets you know that it's exactly what it's talking about. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. So this faith that he's talking about is not of yourself. So in other words, don't think that you placed your faith in something or you did something as it pertains to how God's requirement was met. This verse is letting you know that this faith that is talked about in this particular passage, it's not of yourselves. God didn't tell you something here and you did something and it pleased God. This particular faith was given to you as a free gift. It was given to you as a free gift. Look what it says here. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Now, how do I know that it's not something I did? Look what it says. Not of works. This faith was not, this faith is also something that was not attached to God telling you to do something and you did something, because it clearly says here that it's not of works, lest any man should boast. This is what we're going to find a lot when we're rightly dividing the word of truth and the dynamic, the truth within us. We are not going to have anything, and I mean absolutely anything, to brag about. Everything that has been done for us via Jesus Christ. Now look what it says over here in Colossians, because I want you to begin to embrace something as it is stated over here. As it is stated over here as well. Now, I know some of you don't have different versions of the Bible, but definitely want to share this particular verse with you here. Colossians 2 and 12, look what this says here. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of what?
The operation
of God. This is something that we're going to key on in a moment. It says, through the operation of God who has raised him from the dead. God did an operation for us. You ever see these military operations sometime that go on where the Navy SEALs might go into a area and they call it Operation Desert Storm or something like that. They go and they're supposed to go and take care of a problem, an impending problem or something like that, or to go root out some damaging aspect of a government or something like that. It's an operation. They plan it. They strategically set something up to cure a problem, so to speak. Well, this is when we're talking about operation, this is what we're making a reference to today. When you look at the operation of God, God viewed what was going on with us in time past, and before the foundation of the world, he already had an operation in place. Even before there was a problem, he already had, because God doesn't react to what we do. He already foreknows. That's a makeup aspect of God that we are very familiar with. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. So this operation of God had already made a provision for a problem that he foreseen that we were going to have. What was that problem that we had? We had a sin problem. And Adam all died. That sin problem was a part of each and every one of our anatomy. And God put forth this operation that would settle and take care of the sin problem once and for all. Turn to Psalms. I want to share this with you. All the scriptures is for us. All the scriptures is for us. And every now and then you see a line upon line, precept upon precept, that you just want to bring some truth out, because it'll show you the character of God that continues throughout every age. Now, every detail about what's happening here might not apply, but you'll see that the theme applies. Psalms 28, look at verses 4 and 5. Psalms 28, verses 4 and 5. Look what it says here. Give them according to their deeds and according to their wickedness of their endeavors. Give them after the work of their what? Yeah. Render to them their deserts. Because they regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operations of his hands, he shall destroy them and not build them up. Do you know that God always only accepts what he does? God only accepts, and when I say he accepts what he does, even when he tells you to do something, it lines up with what his plan and his purpose is. So, in this particular case, God is telling you that there are some things that he operated, some things that he put in place with his own hand, some things that he manifested, and that's the only thing he's going to accept. And what you and I have to understand, and we have to begin to boast about and begin to understand to the extent that we glorify in it, is that when we see this faith here, this faith is the operation of God, and he has titled this faith that is the operation of God a package deal that applies to you and I. A package deal that applies to you and I. Turn to Romans 3:22. A package deal that applies to you and I. So many individuals in Christendom are still feel as if their Christian faith is relying upon their day-to-day conduct and a standing of righteousness based upon what they do on a day-to-day basis. They think their maintenance of their salvation is based upon what they do on a day-to-day basis. They think they have to stay saved by doing certain things. They think that a part of their staying saved is their church attendance. They think that a part of their staying saved is the way that they conduct themselves in certain situations. And I say all of this because it really goes right into what we're talking about today as it pertains to the provision that God has made. Now, I don't want to make someone think that their good conduct and the way that they conduct themselves based upon sound doctrine is not important. It's definitely important. It's important from the vantage point if you're pleasing God in your walk, so to speak, or if you're going to be rewarded when you get to heaven for certain things that you do. But this is something that individuals must know in order for them to rest in the finished work of the operation of God, the things that God has provided for us. So look at what it says here in Romans 3:22. And the reason I'm going to go to Romans 3:22 is because it's the first place you see this in all the scriptures. God never revealed this before in scripture, his operation that was fulfilled, this task that he had taken on that would give us victory over our sin problem. See, we had a sin problem because we basically were under a program called the law. And the law was something that would point out our sin, but the law was also something that was unattainable for us because we were enclosed in something that was called what? Let's turn to Romans 8 before we even read Romans 3:22. Let's look at that because I want to just share this with you. I want to verify that fact that we had a problem and the problem was not going to be solved. Look what it says in Romans 8:3 here. Romans 8:3. For what the law could not do in that it was what? Weak through the flesh. Look what the operation of God was. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but what? Oh, you start hearing some of the details about the operation of God here. You start hearing the details about the operation of God. Look what it says here. For what the law could not do. This was our problem, and a lot of people are still trying to put themselves under this problem because a lot of people out there still think they're under the law. And they give you a big problem when we tell them that, no, we're no longer under the law. We are under. It's a clear factor. There's two operating standards in the scriptures, two operating principles in the scriptures. You're either calling yourself under the law, which more than 66% of the Bible says, or you recognize that you're under grace. And then just understanding that you're under grace, you have to study to show yourself approved so that you can be empowered by what grace brings you. Those truths, the fact that you've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, the fact that you've been made holy, the fact that you've been made unblameable, the fact that you are forgiven, the fact that you are adopted, the fact that you are redeemed, all these issues are true about you because of the operation of God. You had absolutely nothing to do with that. Listen, when you got saved, you don't have to ask God to forgive you of your sins. You ever seen somebody go, oh, God, forgive me of my sins, and I'm going to open my heart up, you come into my heart and walk in my... No, no. You realize true salvation doesn't require you to ask God to forgive you of your sins. True salvation, the moment you trust that Christ died for your sins according to Scripture, that he was buried, that he rose on the third day, you have forgiveness. You have, as a present possession, you have forgiveness. How did you get that forgiveness? It's the operation of God. He gave you forgiveness based upon what he allowed Jesus Christ to perform on your behalf. Your forgiveness, your redemption, your adoption, all of that is based upon the operation of God. God did something for us that needs to be glorified and no longer swept under a rug. Because when individuals are pointing to their day-to-day conduct and they're feeling as if they're doing something to notch themselves or not to put a notch in their belt, they are excusing the fact that God has did something 100% on our behalf. This is what we talk about, positional sanctification we talk about. These are things that are true about you if you don't move a muscle. But because they're true about you, this is what's supposed to motivate you to practice righteousness. Because you have been made righteous, you're supposed to practice this righteousness. Now let's go over here back to Romans 3rd chapter before I get ahead of myself, because I was about to talk about righteousness and I wasn't ready for that yet. I'm going to start at verse 21 because individuals have to know that at this particular point in the Bible, this is a key point in your Bible. Now, I don't have anybody that to adjust that for me, but at this point right here, we talk about, but now is where the yellow starts. That's where the yellow starts in our particular chart that we have here. If you want a chart, get our website. We make sure you get one. But we see here in Romans, the 3rd chapter, 21st and the 22nd chapter. Now, this is what it says. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Listen, this is something that's absolutely phenomenal. There's never before in Scripture anyone talked about being a righteousness that was without the law. The only righteousness that was ever described in Scripture. In fact, let's go there because of time. We want to try to curtail some of this, but some of these verses we have to actually read. Deuteronomy 6:25, I believe. One of those key verses that you have to read over and over and over, because I know somebody read it 100 times before I recognize it, so I don't mind going over these verses. Yeah. These are hidden gems in the Scripture, and when you come to it today, if you're coming to it for the first time, please use a highlighter and highlight this verse. This verse is key. It shows you the contrast of what righteousness used to be. It sums it up in a nutshell. Deuteronomy 6:25. Look what it says here. And it shall, God talking through Moses to the children of Israel. And this is the standard of what righteousness was in time past. And it shall be our righteousness. Look what it says here. If we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. You have to see something right here. There's some things that need to be pointed out here. It shall be our righteousness if is a condition. The only way they receive righteousness is if they observe to do all these commandments. Don't act like when I'm telling you that you're righteous just because God declared you righteous by the operation of God, that's what you thought all the time, because I know for a fact more than 66% of the Bible teaches contrary to the operation of God giving you some righteousness. Righteousness all throughout the Scripture up to this point has always been you having to obey what God's rules and regulations was, and if you were obeying them, you were righteous, and the moment you stop obeying them, you were no longer righteousness, and you were destined for hell all over again. People have a problem with this, but they have to understand that there's been a distinction in the Scripture, and something has changed. And we are the individuals that need to tell them that something is changed. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments. What are these commandments? That's the law. And when we talk about the law, and people try to get all fancy with it, talk about there's the moral law, the ceremonial law, what's the other portion? The civil law, you know, and they want to break the law up and say we didn't really have to obey this, and this is not a part of this. But guess what? The Bible says that if you offend at one jot or tittle of the law, you're guilty of how much of it? And guess how many? It was more than 10. How many was it?
6 plus.
It was a lot. So 6 what?
613.
It was a lot of different things. And we talked about some of the different dynamics that every one of them had the same stigma to it. I'm guilty up here now. I got so many different blends in my clothes. You couldn't wear any clothes that had more than one fabric in them. It's all kind of polyester blend, stretching, and all this active suits they call it. You can stretch and work and do jumping jacks. I done broke the law already. It is a little more comfortable than some of those standard suits. You can kind of flex a little bit and all that type of stuff. But the fact of the matter is, this would have been against the law in time past. No, it's not just a little law. It would make you guilty of the whole law. You might as well murder somebody. So many things that we take for granted. This ear piercing was a problem in time past for me. It was a problem. It would be a problem. This rounding the corner of my beard, that was a problem in time past. God told Israel that that was something that he desired them not to do, and if they did it, that was a problem. All the meats, the clean and the unclean. So in other words, what I'm trying to tell you is that righteous standard of time past is something that you and I are blessed not to have to maintain. Somebody said amen because they recognize it. So now when we come back to Romans 3:22, we can get a little more excited about it. Now we see that same righteous standard that was based upon keeping all those rules, all those regulations, and listen, those rules and those regulations, there was honor in that. Romans, and I always try to read Romans 7 just a little bit to show you about this commandment, Romans 7:12, wherefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. Listen, nobody could keep the law. That was not God's intention to try to establish righteousness on our behalf. So we recognize here that he made a provision by the operation of God. Well, let's hear what this provision is. I want this provision named, and I want you to show me some details of what it actually provided for me. This is something that I want you to recognize.
I'm going out of frame for a minute because I don't know if anybody here is going to have a different Bible.
I may have mine up here.
My iPad. Well, anybody have a different scripture? No parallel. We totally rooted out every NIV or something in here.
Lucky I got to have my Bible. I got a Bible app that's got different versions in it.
Okay.
I'm not familiar with using it.
Try. Okay, see if you can grab it. I'm going to read this 3:22. 3:22. Look what it says. I'm going to read it out the King James Version. Now, this is something that's a big deal. This is why I wanted to take the time out to find my
iPad. Okay, it's right here in front of me.
Okay, we got it. Right here in front of me. We want to share with individuals why it's so important. Now, whenever you see the Word of God being changed to take a phrase out, you have to recognize that it's not being done for just any vain purpose. Oftentimes, we are recognized these things are done because the prince of the power of the air does not want you to know that there's some significance in the phraseology or the semantics. But do you know why semantics are so important when you come to God's Word? You know what semantics mean? Amen. Semantics is words. You can't get caught up into semantics. Yes, you have to get caught up into semantics because God's word is a semantic. It's a word. And it has to make, I have it. And it has to keep its form in order for it to produce the effectual power that God wants it to set forth, right? You can't change God's word if, in fact, you want it to stay true. The Bible says, let God be true and let every man be a liar. Anytime they change the word of God from its original intent, they're lying. But you have to get back to the sound doctrine in order to see what God's word and the truth about it. Stay with me here. We're talking about faith, and then I'm coming to a phrase that is a key phrase that we talk about quite a bit that you have to pay more attention to because it means so much for you. Look what we see here, verse 22 of Romans 3. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, upon all and upon all, them that believe, for there is no difference. Now, I don't even know for a fact that this particular verse is changed, but I'm going to take a shot at this one and see if it's changed. Because if it is, I know for a fact that there's a greater power that's against us here. You know what I mean? Now, I'm going to share with you what that phrase is. The phrase that is so important for us because it is encapsulated as the operation of God is this term that some of us are very, very familiar with. It's called the faith of Jesus Christ. And it's phrased different ways, the faith of Christ, the faith of Jesus Christ. We're going to see it phrased a few different ways. But see, when you say the faith of Jesus Christ, now you're talking about everything that the operation of God has accomplished on your behalf. It's the reason why you are righteous. See, this is what was accomplished by the finished work of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross when he became sin for us. He put on the likeness of sinful flesh and accomplished this righteousness so that now he gives you the righteousness because he took your sin. This is called the faith of Jesus Christ. And if you want to maintain that, this is the phraseology that has to stay consistent because this is the gift that was given to you. You remember Ephesians 2:8-9?
this is that free gift that was given to you. God gave you the faith of his son. So in other words, his son lived a 100% righteous, wholesome life. This was his faith. It's the faith of Jesus Christ. He didn't lie. He didn't steal. He didn't kill. He didn't cheat. He didn't hit that. He didn't do any of that thing. And he went up to the cross 100% righteous before God. God takes that righteousness that he accomplished by not sinning in his lifestyle, and he calls it the faith of Jesus Christ. So now what God does with the righteousness, because this is what it is, a whole lot of things, but it's definitely righteousness that's accomplished by the faith of Jesus Christ, he gives it to you and I upon us trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ, the fact that he died for our sins according to Scripture, that he was buried, that he rose on the third day. So this is why we have to hold fast to this terminology staying the same in the Scripture, because if it changes, it no longer, there's no longer representing an operation of God, something that was done on our behalf, and it might change to something that's not true. Let's see if it changes to something that's not true. This is why we want to stick to the King James Version of the Bible. It's the only one that maintains God doing it for you and not you attempting to try to do it. Let's see what it says here. In the NIV, if somebody, ASV, I have actually, the ASV, in verse 22 of Romans 3, it says, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ unto all them that believe, for there is no distinction. Come on. You hear that? I'm going to read it again because I think even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ unto all them that believe, for there is no difference. I want to try to share with you how that would look. I want to share with you how that would look. So if this is Jesus Christ, and I'm not going to try to draw a picture, I'm going to just put his name here. This represents Jesus Christ, right? If I'm putting faith in Jesus Christ, that means that I'm over here. And I'm trying to put my faith in Jesus Christ. So now he becomes the subject, so to speak. But he's the object, but I'm the actual subject that's placing my faith. This is how a lot of individuals in Christianity picture their faith. They think that he's up here and I'm putting my trust in him. That's what's making me saved. God says, no, that's not it. What's making you saved? I gave you the faith of my son, and now you're clothed in his righteousness. You see him distant, but I see you in him. For by one spirit we were all placed into one body. The moment you place your trust in Jesus Christ, he gave you the faith of his son, and now when God sees you, he sees you wrapped in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He doesn't see you looking at a foreign object and putting your faith and trust in it. He sees you already having the faith of his own son. See, over here, this would be your faith. And let me tell you something. Your faith won't cut it with God. Your faith won't cut it with God. But when individuals don't rightly divide the word of truth, they don't understand that God has performed an operation for us through the finished work of his son, Jesus Christ, and gave it to our account, and they don't recognize that it's something that's already fulfilled. They think that it's something that they're still trying to do. So this term, the faith of Jesus Christ, has been belittled. It's been pushed to the side. It's been also equated with somebody having the ability to almost equalize what God has done for us by them simply placing their faith in something. And that's not what it is. So when we look at the faith of Christ, we recognize it as being 100% the operation of God. So let's go a little further here. I'm going to read this because right now we see that it definitely gave us righteousness. We're righteous because of the operation of God. But I'm going to begin to read just a little bit right here in Romans, the third chapter, just to see if we receive anything else from it here. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Did anything else come along so far? Amen. Somebody sees it. All these other things come across. They start jumping off the page now, justified. Now, this is something I begin to try to always do here. When you're trying to share the good news with somebody, when one thing is true, And you know, because one thing is true, another thing is automatically true. You want to make that known to people. You don't want to keep that hidden to them because they might never know that. But this is always a great opportunity to share with somebody. Because we've been justified here, what else can I automatically say we have? You know why that's important? Because there's a lot of individuals in Christendom today that don't realize that they're saved eternally. Eternal security, they call it. They don't realize that once saved, you're always saved. But we have to recognize, because of the operation of God, the moment you were justified, that means you were made righteous in the sight of God. God says that He also will make sure that you will be glorified. Listen, it won't have anything to do with you, because it's the operation of God. He's going to see that it comes to fruition. We need a verse for that, right? Look at Romans 8. Look at Romans 8. Romans 8:30. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, what did He do? This is a package deal. This is a package deal. You didn't do anything on your own to become glorified. Listen, the reason you need to magnify God, the reason you need to praise God in spite of your circumstances on a day-to-day basis is because the day that He saved you, He sealed you unto the day that He's going to come back for you. That's called glorification. He justifies you, made you right, and He's going to make sure that He receives you unto Himself, and nothing's going to get in the way of that. Guess who's responsible for that? It's the operation of God. This is not you. This is not your part of doing anything. Anything that you have to do has nothing to do with what God has secured in you through the finished work of Jesus Christ, through the faith of His Son, Jesus Christ. The reason He's giving you this is because of what His Son has done on our behalf. And this is something that we glory in God about.
So we see that, we begin to look at that. Why is it such a big deal that I would make this known? Now, we talked about it earlier. We just went over there to Deuteronomy 6 and 25. But I want to share with you how people used to look at salvation, because I'm contrasting this to those that don't understand that once you receive this salvation, it's automatically yours and nothing changes. Because there's other areas of the scripture that say things contrary to this. Turn to Acts. Turn to the book of Acts real briefly. I heard an individual quoting some scriptures out of the book of Acts the other day as if they were doctrine to you and I. That's why you have to also be aware of the things that are found in the book of Acts, because some people will hold them to be doctrine. They'll think that they're teaching to them that comes out of the book of Acts, the things that they should apply to their lifestyle based upon what is being said. Acts 10, I'll start at verse 34. This is Peter, right? This is Peter talking because we're talking about how the operation of God has granted us righteousness. Now look, this is not how righteousness was perceived all throughout the scriptures. I'm showing you accounts in the scriptures where righteousness is not just something that God grants you like we have today. I want to show you that there was a different way that righteousness was achieved and viewed and signed fast. Look what it says in Acts the 10th chapter, verse 34 and 35. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth Him and worketh righteousness, what? Is accepted with Him." Didn't I tell you that we were accepted not based upon our ability to work righteousness? He made us accepted in who? We're accepted in the beloved. We're accepted because of the faith of Christ. We're accepted because when He sees us, He sees His Son, Jesus Christ. That's not what Peter is talking about here. Peter is saying very clearly here, in every nation, he that feareth Him and worketh righteousness is accepted. So now who's working the righteousness? The individual. So now that's his faith again.
what the enemy wants to do. He wants you to focus on you trying to attain and maintain and sustain your own faith and your own righteous standing before God, and never view yourself as 100% righteous before God for eternity based upon what Christ has given you, what God has given you in Christ as a free gift. You can't make a move in your practical sanctification until you fully understand what God has done for you from a positional sense. This is what is true about you, in spite of how it feels. It was true about you the moment you believed. God forgave you of all your sins and all your trespasses. He quickened you in His Spirit the moment you believed. It wasn't something that you had to do to receive that. It was something that was done on your behalf. Now, a lot of people aren't aware of this. That's why it behooves us as individuals, as ambassadors for Christ, to make this known, to make all men see this fellowship that we have in the mystery of Christ. We don't want individuals to continue to be ignorant. The Apostle Paul says that's almost like what we look at as the biggest denomination, ignorant brother. He says, I would not have you to be what? And there's a lot of people that are ignorant as it pertains to these truths about what God is doing. Now, when we say ignorant, we're not saying it from a bad vantage point. Ignorance simply means what? Lack of knowledge, lack of information. You don't know. And if you don't know, guess what? We have somebody who's here to tell you. And when we tell them, we want to tell them these things in love. We want to tell them these things in a way that it will possibly produce salvation in their life. That's all we want to do. Let's go a little further in this. Here's some glorious truths here that we want to touch on today. I know time is going to try to sneak away from us. Turn to Galatians 3. Galatians 3. We're going to try to deal with this for a moment, because this operation of God, it really causes me to rejoice, because once I understood this, listen, there's a lot of people out here hearing this for the first time, and it's not hitting their ears correctly. We're praying that God allows you to receive some of this information so that you'll understand that God has provided something for you that you can't provide for yourself. God has provided something for you that you cannot provide for yourself. So we begin to look at the scriptures and we search the scriptures so we can see exactly what is manifesting here. Galatians 3, look at verse 14. We're going to talk about this for a moment here. That the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through what? Now listen, this is important. This is something we see here. This thing called promise. This issue called promise. I'm going to read just some of the text here so we can have a better understanding of what's going on here. That the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So what's one of the things that the Spirit, I mean, that the promise is granting us?
The blessing of Abraham,
what is it going to give us? Somebody said
Spirit.
Amen. This is something that was away from us. We didn't have the Spirit. We spiritually dead, right? And one of the things that the promise was going to accomplish, it was going to get us the Spirit. The Spirit was going to give us life. And what else could Jesus Christ do? Jesus Christ, you have to realize, Jesus Christ wasn't like the first Adam that was a living soul. He was a quickening spirit. So He was going to give life to our spirit. This is one of the things that the promise was going to accomplish here. So we'll read through a little bit of this so we'll have a better understanding of what is going on here. I'll start at verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God and it was counted for him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith are the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. We talked about this early. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, curses everyone that continueth
not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. That's what we were talking about just a moment ago. If you don't want to receive the grace of God, you want to continue trying to observe the law to make yourself righteous before God, have at it, but you can't do it. But you can't do it. You'll continue to be under the curse. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. But guess what? There's only one faith that God is accepting. See, the other way was you trying to obtain it by the law, but now God says that something is different about the issue. There's only one way that you're going to attain it, and it's by faith, but the faith that gives us that is the faith that we receive as a free gift, and the faith that we receive as a free gift is the faith of Jesus Christ. I'm not trying to cross you up. All people here understand what I'm saying. I know it might be a little harder for people on the that's listening over the airwaves, but this is something that's important. You have to recognize that your ability to please God within yourself to maintain, receive, or sustain your salvation just won't work. And that's all we're talking about today. I'm just talking about your positional salvation today. We're not talking about practical so much. We're talking about your positional. So we see that there. And I'm going to just continue to read here. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. So we're going to go a little further here. Let's read verses 21 and 22 for time's sake. In fact, I'll read 19 as well. Wherefore, when Galatians 3, 19 to 21, we're going to continue to read down because we're getting to something here. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by the angels, in the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Now, look what it says in verse 21. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. There's something coming here. Look what it says. For if the law had been able, if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been how? What was the law? What was the other article that he was trying to receive? If the law could have given what? Life. Two articles here. Two articles here are supposed to come by promise. This is something that a lot of individuals don't really take a big look at, because what God does, he goes over here to Abraham. He skips the law. He doesn't go into Israel's program, so to speak, but he goes to Abraham before circumcision. And he establishes a promise. How he's going to reconcile mankind, so to speak. And he goes over here and he gives us the promise of the Spirit and life because of Abraham's seed. But he didn't say seeds of many, he said seeds of one. You know what that one was? That seed that he's talking about was Jesus Christ. Now, this might get deep for some. That's all right, because what you're going to have to do, you're going to have to walk through these scriptures and understand how God provided us with these things based upon his operation. This is all in the operation of God. How we were going to receive spirit and life based upon this thing here. Look how God provides us. Look at verse 22. But the scripture has concluded all under sin that the promise, look what it says, how? Of what? Again. How did we receive the promise? But not by your faith. We receive the promise by faith of Jesus Christ. I believe it should be in quotations. Because the reason you receive the promise is not because of your ability to do anything. The reason you receive the promise of the Spirit, the reason you receive the promise of life, is because of the faith of Jesus Christ. Now that faith has come. We were waiting for this. This is what the promise was. This is what accomplishes life, is the Spirit of life for you and I. These two articles go hand in hand. Some of you already know where I could go with this. See, when you establish something based on the scripture, the Bible says line upon line, precept upon precept. There's a line and a precept that I can jump over to show you that these two things were granted for you and I. But we want to show you here very clearly that it says, but the scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to all them that do what? The only thing an individual has to do to be rewarded with all these things that God's, the operation of God has accomplished, is to believe that Christ died for his sins according to scripture. That he was buried. That he rose on the third day according to scripture. Then he receives this gift of the Spirit and life. You see that? That's how he received that. Now, let's go over here to Romans 8 real briefly. Let's go over here to Romans 8 real briefly. Because those things, they're jumping off the page. I just wanted to touch it just briefly here. I'm going to read Romans 8, 1 and 2. Romans 8, 1 and 2. Look what we received here. How it goes hand in hand. Therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are where? In Christ Jesus. See, this is what it accomplished for us, that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the... It's important. You see, a lot of people don't even understand. Once they become saved, they're no longer after the flesh. They're after the Spirit. It's not something you do when I'm doing good, I'm in the Spirit. When I'm doing bad, where am I? That's what they think, right? They think I'm in the flesh. They don't realize once you've been saved, the person trusted in the finished work of Jesus Christ, you're always in the Spirit. You might be grieving the Spirit. You might be quenching the Spirit. But you're always in the Spirit. That's a key article that so many people miss. Because churches teach that you have to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And when you're doing bad, you're not filled with the Holy Ghost. You're walking in the flesh. Sometimes we may fulfill the lust of the flesh, but we never are walking in the flesh. That's done. We're no longer in the flesh because by the promise we've received the Spirit in life, right? So look what it goes on to say here. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, for the law of the what? That's what this is. This is a spiritual law that became true about you the moment you believed the gospel. This is a spiritual law. You know what it replaced? The law of sin and death. The moment you believe, you are free from the law of sin and death. That happened the moment you believe. Because of the operation of God. The moment you believe. You didn't feel it, you didn't smell it, you don't taste it. The fact of the matter is God's word says it and declares it about you and it's true about you whether you recognize it or not. You've been made free from the law of sin and death. Just like the law of gravity says what goes up must come down. A lot of individuals still believe that the soul that sinneth shall. So that's the law of sin and death. If you sin, you die. The wages of sin is death. You're not in this realm anymore because you're no longer under the law. Where there's no law, there's no. So since you're no longer under the law over there where gravity goes up, now you're over here under something called grace. And because you're not under the law, where there's no law, there is no transgression. So now you're in a realm or a sphere that God gave you by promise called the Spirit of Life. This is your 100% standing before God. You are in the Spirit of Life in Christ Jesus because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. This is something that we rejoice about. This is something that we rejoice about. And this is something that makes God truly glad when we recognize what God has done on our behalf. Okay, we're a little coming down to a close. I'm going to try to constrict this just a bit here. Turn to Romans 4:16. Romans 4:16. Because we're talking about the same issue with Abraham here. The promise. Talking about this promise. This promise was accomplished for us, given to us because of the operation of God. 4:16. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is what? That's how Abraham is a key figure in what God is doing with us. This is how we connect. That's why when we talk about in the scriptures, we talk about we're not born again, because our whole relationship with God started the moment we trusted in the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's why the true calling for you and I, how we should describe what God has done for us, is what 2 Corinthians 5 says, 7b. If any man be in Christ, he is the new creature. Old things, behold all things. You know what passed away? Your identity in this law of sin and death. That's no longer who you are. It's no longer who you are, and it has absolutely nothing to do with your ability to have changed your own status. You just simply believed in what somebody has done for you, what Christ has done for you, and what he's done for you through the operation of God. He's removed you from the law of sin and death, placed you in the spirit realm. This is where you reside. Individuals of Christianity don't understand that they reside in the spirit. They don't understand that they're sealed by the Spirit of God until the day of redemption. They don't understand that the life that they now live, they live it by the faith of the Son of God who loved them and gave himself for them. That's the only way you're living today. In other words, there's a lot of things that we're doing in our life that is vain. You ever looked at yourself, your day-to-day conduct by percentages? Think about this. Think about a full 24-hour day, right? How much of your day are you doing the things that God has designed for you to do as an ambassador for Christ? Just consider it, right? Right? So now you got 24 hours in a day. If you're doing something that's designed, if you're praying, if you're interceding for somebody else, if you're studying God's Word, if you're sharing God's Word, count them, all those things. You know the spiritual disciplines, right? When you're doing those things for God. Think about your day. Now you take however many hours of the day that you're doing, you know, I know you sleep some of the time, so we'll count that as it also, all right? Because you pray, say your prayers before you go to sleep, so we say all that time that you sleep, we'll even give that to you. Hopefully you sleep for 8 hours rather than 4 or 5, because that gives you more time to be on, you know what I mean? So now, a lot of people feel only time you're doing the things of the Spirit is while you're in the Spirit. That's not how it works. You're always in the Spirit. The fact of the matter is that a lot of things that we do in our life is vain because we're not walking in the Spirit. You see what I'm saying? So now you have to consider. Did I study my Bible today? Did I tell anybody about Christ today? Even on my job, see, you have to work. God understands that you have to work, but there's a manner in which you can work that can still be beneficial to God. Now, some people have problems on their job. And some people deal with the problems on their job based upon the old man. How many do that, did that in time, Pastor? Still do it. You know, it's easy to jump back in the old man because this thing, that's going to get the immediate result that I want, right? They come up to you and they say something stupid. I know I can bark back at them and put them in check. And that ain't going to be no problem no more. Right? This way I can settle this. I can get this taken care of. I ain't going to have to worry about this issue no more. But then there's a way that the transformed mind can deal with that issue that can be beneficial to you being an ambassador for Christ. We have to think about every facet of our life. Our neighbors. What's your conduct with your neighbors? You live at home all the time. That's where you live, right? So you know that there's a conduct that you have in your neighborhood that should be conducive to you walking in the Spirit and giving glory to God out of your life. Are you just too cool to... You know, too cool to really reflect who you are in Christ when you're around your neighbors? Or have you softened your old man persona that now you have some spirituality about you that's beneficial to the purpose of God in your life? This is some of the things we really have to consider. This is why we come to church. This is why we come together. We come together to be not conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because I don't want to be the same way I was yesterday as it pertains to the old man. I want to be beneficial to the purpose of Christ. And studying my word is one portion of it. But see, when I study my word and then I don't walk it out, I don't practically walk it out, what happens to that person? You just get all this word of knowledge does what? It puffs up, and I'm going to have a problem because now all I want to do is prove that you're wrong. I'm going to bark at you about you not knowing what the God is really doing rather than allowing it to transform my mind and trying to deal with you in a way that I can be influential in trying to get you saved if you're not saved. That's my first and foremost project for anybody that I know. I got to find a way that I can get this salvation conversation going. And you ever thought about life after death? Ooh, man, that's tough, man.
I went to a friend of mine's funeral this week. I was, well, that's a real sketchy thing there. What you think about this life? I got to get in there. Man, I don't even think about that today, but you don't think about it, you might as well. You can think, not think about it if you want to. It's a reality. All of us are going to die one day. Right? You don't get in there. What's your thought about that? Well, I don't want to talk about that, man. Okay. Okay, I'll talk to you another time then.
That's right, yeah.
You see? But now we going where it needs to go. Now, this individual goes to church, right? Life after death issue. Well, I know you. I thought you could tell me something. You go to church every week. That you a member of Mount Olive Baptist Church? You've been going. You a member of church? I've been going to church all those years. I know you can help me out here. What's this thing about life after death? What's going on with this? Yeah, man. You got to go to church, get baptized. You know, you got to, you know. Yeah, I used to think that too. Just go to church to be baptized. But what's the Bible say about me? What do you know? What is your template? What is your introduction to trying to get somebody to see what God is doing today in their life? You have to figure out some things. Because if you don't begin to actively engage in trying to promote these conversations, they just won't happen. It's just like my brother was talking about, even in your family. You know, we can just walk around and say nothing all day, but somebody has to have to hope for that moment of awkwardness. A little moment of discomfort, possibly, because you are God's vehicle. You are God's vessel in that particular situation there. He didn't waste this operation on you just to be saved. All this is talking about all that has been awarded for you. He's talking about those things that are positionally true about you. But once you realize what's positionally true about you, now it's time to walk and practice it. So this is what we come together for. We come together to try to make a difference in the lives of others. Because we know God made a difference in our life the moment we trusted the gospel. Any comments or questions? Go ahead, brother.
That's when you stand in the trash can. That on the bridge when you made the man and then you got you wrote the Lord Christ down. And we get the, yeah, right there, pointing left to it. Give me a little hint what you said there.
Okay, let's go. In fact, I wanted to go to another verse. I possibly can go to this last verse that I was at here. What was the last verse I went to? Galatians 3. See if it's in Galatians 3:22 as well. Because I can share that out of any verse. Okay, yeah, let's try Galatians 3:22. I want to see if this is the same thing. Because I'm telling you, a lot of Bibles are trying to hide this truth. I'm going to show you what the Bible, the other versions of the Bibles are saying versus what we really want to be said. Look what it says here. Oh, yep, see, they did it too. I need somebody to read the real one because I'm about to read the fake one. But the scriptures shut up all things under sin that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Is that what your Bible says?
No.
See, it's not.
Scripture has concluded all under sin that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe.
Amen. So the point I'm... Amen. See, the point I'm making there is that what the Satan, the prince of the power of the air, is trying to make individuals perceive and believe is that it's their faith in Christ. See, he's still an object outside. See, he's still an object that I'm placing my faith toward. But see, what God is saying, it's not your faith. He gave us a free gift. That's what we opened up with. We're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourself is a gift of God, not of works. So he gave us a gift of faith, and that gift of faith is the faith of Jesus Christ. It's not our faith in, it's the faith of Jesus Christ. And because it's the faith of Jesus Christ, we recognize that we are in Christ, not Christ over here, and we have faith in him. It's we're in Christ. And when God sees us, he sees us in his Son. I like that. So that's where I'm making a point of. I'm showing that when you can recognize that the prince of power of the air is in fully active and engaging in what he does, the moment you recognize that this has been changed to make it look like we're doing something toward Christ rather than God already having done something that's 100% complete.
If you don't put your faith in nothing for the rest of your life, God has you covered. Because if you believe not, he remaineth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Hey, that's good news. That's a biggie right there. See, it's no longer this. This is done. I just trusted one time the fact that Christ died for my sins, and then after that, he took over. Everything now is this operation of God. It's a wrap. Now, there's some things I can do for reward, but that's not the case. The case is that now I'm righteous, I'm holy, I'm just, I'm blameless, I'm forgiven, all because of the faith of Christ, and I don't have to do nothing to earn it. I don't go to sleep at night asking God to forgive me because I know I have 100% forgiveness in Christ Jesus. That's what's been awarded me, because when God sees me, he sees his son. Not him, he's not an object. I'm in him. That's what I was trying to say. You get it? Amen. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, the going back to that translations for Romans 3:22, I opened up my Blue Letter Bible app, and it's got 30 different translations. Well, 15 of them are different languages, but the only two that, other than the King James Version, the NET Version says through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. And the YLT version, whatever that is through the faith of Jesus Christ. But other than those two plus the King James, all the other ones change it.
Amen.
Change it to faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ.
That's why we had this say, because this has been attacked. One day they don't want this to ever be seen. Because this is where our victory is at. Our victory is not in this. This is subject. Some people change their mind and stop believing. This is what can remain consistent. Even when you stop believing, God still awards you with it. Oh, man!
Go ahead, brother.
Looking at position and the faith of Jesus Christ, that is the groundwork for our ambassadors.
Amen.
At home, at work, in our neighborhoods, and I think kindness, the more we concern ourselves with being an ambassador for Christ, kindness starts to just overwhelm us in our understanding of what Christ did for us.
Amen.
Before we care to make any adjustment. And Romans 5 lets us know, hey, we were sinners.
Amen.
We were ungodly. We were enemies. And I'm just looking at Titus 3, Pastor, because I'm concerned of myself, and I believe we all are concerned ourselves about our kindness towards this world with the gospel that we need to share, and the moment of uncomfortability that impacts us, that sometimes if we're not careful, we just shrug off that kindness. Titus chapter 3, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to do every good work.
Amen.
To speak evil of no man, to be no brawler, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Then he gave us a flashback of where we were when Christ was on that cross for by the cross for we ourselves, saints, were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving the idols, lust and pleasures, living in malice, envy, hateful and hating one another. These are people we're going to engage if we
have. Absolutely. Amen.
But I love verse 4, because now this impacts our mindset. Like that operation of God, understanding we have this possession. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, and talked about how our righteousness, how his righteousness was credited to us. But after the kindness, after that does something for the sake of the Word of God eventually working in us.
Absolutely.
For that to work out of us while we encounter individuals that's looking at you like, Pastor Lee, here you go again, really?
Amen.
I really shut you down last time, so now you believe some door bottom and you're holding up again. Here you go again, really?
Mm-hmm.
And you put on that kindness. You got those bottles of mercy. and yes, that moment of awkwardness, here you go again.
Mm-hmm. But that's exactly what we're trying to show, because understanding positionally what God has done is God's extension of love, kindness, goodness. See, you have to get this first, because it's the goodness of God that leadeth us to change, to repentance, right? The only reason you're going to really change from the old man to the new man is because you start understanding some of this stuff is true. You mean I'm forgiven in spite of the fact that I'm still doing things that's wrong? You're forgiven. You're forgiven in Christ. I'm not going to take that away from you. As far as I'm concerned, you're holy. You're blameless. I took you from the realm where you can do something. I'm not going to impute your trespasses unto you anymore. This is true about you. You did that for me.
Once I start understanding that, now I can reciprocate that. Reciprocation. I receive the kindness, love, gentleness of God, that I can extend that same kindness, love, gentleness of God toward others.
That I have to receive it first. And if I don't know that's what I receive, I can't extend it. That's why we have to get this first. You have to understand. You have to really know your love. This is because he loves us, because he's given us the same love he gives his son. There's no substitute. So because that's the case, now I can allow Christ to live out of me. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, life I now live. That's what this life is, really. This is not even talking about eternal life here. The life I now live is the life of Christ that's in me. I'm dead and my life is hid in Christ. When Christ shall appear, then my life shall appear with him. That's what this is talking about. Go ahead.
Life that we now live, being an ambassador for Christ, trying to go to whoever we can, because we, minister in the Bible.
Amen.
And you're saying about the doors of utterance, like constantly looking, even for a little piece of it.
Right.
Seeing, if we're going to go ahead ourselves, how you gave an example of the funeral. I just want to share with my husband, is a girl I just met not too long ago. So we had been working out at the gym together. So I said to him, I said, man, our relationship only been the gym and working out. But I want to invite her out, to a Bible study. And so he said, he had gave me his advice on how he was doing. So I did in a text, and she texted me right back and was like, man, I work at such and such time to show that I definitely need more Jesus in my life. I go to church and do that. Once I see that, I read it. I'm like, oh my goodness, oh my Lord, how would I respond to this? Because I'm seeing, she understanding, about how she want to be, with the scriptures or however, but I could see where she don't get it, the more Jesus in church and,
right.
So I'm like, okay, I got to be careful about this.
That's right.
What I definitely love about Grace Family Bible Church, first of all, I love being here. I always this is my church
Praise God.
So regardless of where I'm at, this is my church family, and Mazda said before, if it was just a little ways, just people be here every
Amen.
Day, But so I know, and they have to know about the gospel,
right.
So that's it, and I love what I was saying, that you guys just, you can't say it too many times.
Right.
And we have adopted that, and I just think to praise God for that. Don't assume, even when we're talking, when we hear among us, knowing right divisions, you guys still say it so many times, and that is so, that's wise to do.
Amen.
Because like I said, I adopted that, and I do the same thing. But me knowing that she needed to know the gospel, I went to my husband again and got his advice. He said because of how she pronounced that, she still needs other scriptures, And so, of course, the gospel, and that's what I was able to do, gave her different scriptures pertaining to how she had responded in that text. And so, as I just think and praise God, I was able to shoot that out to her, and she did. She replied back and said, thank you. But, I'm just, really that guy. I was excited.
Praise God. You should be.
I try to be that ambassador of Christ. And, you know, that's all that we can continue to do.
Amen. And we want to exhort each other to continue to press in that particular direction. Yes, sir.
The time we live in now, the thing that's going on politically across the world, is a great opportunity to talk about Christ. From different world leaders, the way they speak and how bold they stand, what they're going to do, what they're not going to do.
Right.
We're going to do, we're going to test our nuclear weapons. We'll shoot it at you. And then even in our own country where we have a president that says, I'm cutting all of these things, you know. No longer are you going to be giving these things. And then people in my circle are saying, you know, what if he cuts this and this and that? Well, that gives me an opportunity.
Absolutely.
Right.
Amen.
You know.
Amen.
Because there's people not sleeping.
Yeah.
There's people going through some serious issues because of the condition of our country.
Amen.
And
you
can give
them
that comfort.
Amen. So these times, we recognize that no matter what the situation is, it's an opportunity for a platform to give somebody the goodness of Jesus Christ. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. All minds clear? Let's bow our heads. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to come together. Lord, we just pray that something was said that will cause us to grow to a greater knowledge of all that you've accomplished for us through Jesus Christ. We pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
All right, love you.